Open them up to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 13. We will read from the scriptures here in a moment. The title of the message is Relying on His Grace. So over the past several weeks, and culminating with yesterday, we've heard a whole lot about the 250th anniversary of our independence, and a lot about this country. And over the past several weeks, as some of you may or may not have been aware of, a little game called soccer in the U.S. The Europeans mistakenly call it football. We're teaching them the difference. But we've had a lot with the soccer being held in the USA. And in that, we have seen those who have come to this nation and what privileges they have enjoyed. I've watched the news where they're interviewing them, and most of them say, I wished I did not have to leave. I want to stay. They talk about the freedoms we have and all the economy in which we have and the different things. And, some of them I know that when I was up in Dallas week before last, that they had, part of them were there, and they were amazed at Whataburger. In Texas, we told them that was a Texas thing, and they got to wear hats and go eat barbecue and find out there was actually really good food down here in Texas. And got to meet a couple of them at the hotels which we were staying at, and got to chat with them. And, you know, oftentimes it's a lot that we take for granted. Also got to visit with them, or in watching the news and the different accounts of those who see nothing but everything wrong with our country, rather than really opening up their eyes. And so this morning, I want to take and correlate why we celebrate this 250 years. How did we get there? Why are we considered the light of the world with the freedoms that we have, and what actually made our nation be able to endure longer than, when you look in history, we have endured far past where most nations or regimes, whatever you want to use in the words, failed and demised ahead of time. And the number one reason I will give you ahead of that is by God's grace. When you look and know the real history, I was amazed at one conversation that they were having on the news where they interviewed, someone mentioned our young people, and they were talking about what was it, why do we celebrate this, what was it that occurred in 1776? And they interviewed about 10 different young people. There was one who was able to always give correct answers. Some of you may have saw that as well. But it just went from all spectrums. It was the Magna Carta. And they asked the question, well, when did we gain our independence? And it was everywhere from 1940 to 1959. And as I watched that, another question they asked was, who led the American army and during that time? And it was from Adolf Hitler to Abraham Lincoln. And then the grand one of all was, who said, give me liberty or give me death? And that was George Bush, Abraham Lincoln. And it went on. And I thought about the fact that they also gave a statistic that those who were very proud of our nation was down in the 50% level compared to in the past of 80 and 90% level. And what I thought about was more than that these are dumb kids. What does that say about the education that they have received? These were all college-age kids.
Exactly. Even in public school, we've got communists teaching our kids.
Oh, yeah.
We do not teach history in the reality. The history, what you find about our nation is when you look back to our nation, our forefathers, this nation was founded on a principle of Judeo-Christian values. It was nothing for our Congress at the time, the men who came together, for them to spend several hours, not a few minutes. You know, we had prayer and praise here. We spent total maybe 10, 15 minutes. Maybe about a minute to in actual prayer. They would spend over 2 hours when you look at the record every day in prayer before they begin working on our declaration, on our Constitution. I opened it up with my prayer about having godly leaders. When you have godly leaders, a nation will thrive. When you have godly leaders, a people will thrive. Now, I want you to relate to the fact that our nation, as it is set up, we have those who are our representatives. And when you really look, and we can talk about all the congressmen and the senators and everything else that we want, but if you really look at the landscape of our current nation, and the landscape of our current representatives, they do, in fact, represent us. I don't see all these heads going that way anymore, uh-huh? And you're thinking, they don't represent me. They represent our nation as a whole. And the problem in our nation as a whole, we have taken God out of it. So they do represent us. The Old Testament is filled over and over, as well as the New, when God speaks to the Jews. Again, they were an example people for all of us for all time to be able to look at. They would go to God, but then they would turn away. And when they turned away, things went bad. When they sought Him, and He tells us in His Word to seek Him, things went well. There has always been trials and troubles. When you look at those founding fathers of our nation, the truth is that they may have had wealth and different possessions at the time, but come to their death, most of them all died as paupers. They had nothing. They had given everything. One of our past presidents, JFK, said, "Ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country." Which leads me back to our faith. Why we're considered the light on a shining hill. Why those people that came here saw so much and took, even though they were residents of other countries, they took pride in what they saw in America. It's freedom. The problem today is we have lost our moral compass. And when you take God out of anything, there is darkness that comes. When you remove something, something else has to fill its place. There is no void that exists. Void is a transition from one filler to another. We see this in the families. The void in families, led to a rise in gang families. And that's what they seek, is to have a family. When we took prayer out, as Cookie said, we started teaching socialism. So not knowing the history and all that has been sacrificed for this nation, and our nation simply is emblematical of faith. Acts chapter 13. Look to verse 42. I've given this as an opening. I'll not have you stand at this time, but we'll read this together. Acts 13 and verse 42. Now, dropping you in the middle of the chapter here, Paul and Barnabas have been preaching. And they're preaching both to the Jews, and they have a multitude of people that are Gentiles that also listen. So we'll pick up in 42. So when the Jews went out of the synagogue, the Gentiles begged that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation had broken up, many of the Jews and devout proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And on the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, that they were filled with envy and contradicting and blaspheming, they opposed the things spoken by Paul. Then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, "It was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first," meaning the Jews, "but since you reject it, judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, 'I have set you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth.'" Now when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as had been appointed in eternal life believed. The word of the Lord was being spread throughout the region. God has promised us that His word will be everlasting. It will never disappear. I guess, you know, I am very... very, and I don't mean it in a negative way, but very proud of our heritage. The T-shirts, the slogan that we have sometimes, many of you have, or a bumper sticker says, "I am a proud American Christian." That should be number one to you and I. Not our nation, I will be the first to say, but our faith. For without our faith, our nation will not thrive. Without the faith of the forefathers and those who have carried on in God's grace, we would not be able to celebrate the 250 years. What we need to realize as Christians, and we are God's ambassadors, that it is upon us, as it was on Paul and Barnabas, as he says here, that it was commanded them to set as the light. For them, the Gentiles, for you and I, our communities, our homes, our nation. And that spreads across to the remainder of the world. In all the things that we see that everybody wants to say is wrong with our nation, I do not discount the fact that we have made errors. But the trials and tribulations we faced as a nation, no different than the trials and tribulations that you and I face in our daily lives, oftentimes we cannot fix. It requires you and I to lean on an everlasting God and ask for Him to fix and give us wisdom and guidance in what we do. Notice there in 43 it says the fact that Paul and Barnabas, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. Danny and Debbie sang a song, that grace and that mercy go together. while ago is we need mercy. Our nation and each one of us needs God's grace and His mercy. We need, as Paul and Barnabas here says, they were commanded and gave the boldness to speak the word. You and I, in the nation in which we live, if we desire to see it go forward and continue for another number of years, must be the ones that speak with boldness and tell the true history. When I watched that about the history, I told you that they explained to that at a different time they had where they were talking about Easter and all, those same young people, I won't say the same, but young people like them, maybe some of them the same, that didn't understand our nation's history, do not understand the gospel as well. That is where we have failed, quite bluntly and frankly. It started with taking prayers out of schools. I will commend our current, at least in the state of Texas, governor and our leaders with the Board of Education who have now said Bible stories will be again taught in the schools in Texas. That is the start. It is incumbent upon you and I, folks, we've talked about this before, that you and I teach God's Word and God's statutes, the true living Word to them, to our young people, that they might thrive in their lives and as they begin to take forward. Imagine for you a moment if nobody had ever taught you or introduced you to Jesus Christ. Where would your life be? We happen to have a missionary with us today. And I would almost bet you, from talking to other missionaries, how receptive those people are to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not every one of them. There's going to be those, just as in Paul and Barnabas' day, that want to reject it. But the majority of them who are never exposed suddenly begin to find there is a better way to life, there is something bigger than you and I, and that there is abundant life that can be had through Jesus Christ. They starve for being able to read the Word. See, today we take it kind of for granted that we have the Bible. But if you look back in our history, when King James Bible was first put out, there was generally one copy in the entire community chained to the pulpit of a church. And if you wanted to read God's Word, guess what? You had to travel however far the church was to over to read God's Word. And yet God's Word is readily accessible to you and I today. And that is the reason that as a church, we have those Bibles that sit in the pew for anyone that comes. We tell them, if you don't have a Bible or that one makes it easier for you to read, take it. No cost. It's a gift. Because that is what God's Word is a gift. We mail the New Testaments all over the world. In all the different countries, we see that, as we were told about others that preach the gospel in countries, are in prison for nothing more than preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And yet oftentimes we take that so much for granted. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, Paul records that he asked the Lord to take whatever ailment he had, and God, he asked three times, and God responds to him and says the following. He says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Think about that and what we just read that Paul and Barnabas told the believers. Continue in God's grace. No matter what we face as a nation, no matter what you and I face in our personal lives, with our families, with our co-workers, with our young people, we're always going to have trials and tribulations. You and I have to move forward and continue in God's grace, which He promises us is sufficient. There is negative in this world, have no doubt about that. As much as I believe that God is alive and well, the devil is alive and well also. And we, His people, are under attack. And we see that more and more pronounced, just as God's Word told us would happen. But folks, the day is coming very shortly at hand when our Savior will return. His Word is true in everything. The problem is, those that you and I care about, we had the opportunity to bring the gospel forward, we failed to speak. Got a couple of kids in here. Mom and Dad are here. Church won't save them. But what I will tell you is they are exposed to God's Word by being here. Mom and Dad are bringing them up right so that they know God's Word. We as parents make mistakes. But it's never too late in God's grace to flip that, to let them know about our faith, and to teach them of the statutes. For without it, you would not be here. I would not be here. But somebody took the time to explain the gospel, to present the gospel. And in that, the Holy Spirit then will do His work that He needs to do in each one of our lives with the conviction and the process and the offer to accept Jesus Christ. We celebrate the 250th anniversary. You and I, like the disciples, got to live in the midst of history, something that will never be celebrated again. Only comes once in life. After this, it'll be 251, but it won't be 250. They got to walk with Jesus. The greatest thing of all is you and I have a second journey. Because of Him, if we believe in Him, you and I will actually get to see Him face to face, just as they did. The whole boils down to is in God's grace of knowing the truth. Folks, the bottom line is this, and you can see it in what has happened within our nation, is that our nation has not been taught the history, therefore they lack the pride or the patriotism of a nation of forefathers who struggled so diligently to provide the freedoms that you and I have. The problem with Christianity today is we have not taught the statutes and the trials and the tribulations and the lives that were sacrificed, number one being Jesus Christ, that you and I might have faith and everlasting life. The correlation is neither have been taught. And guess what takes place? A lost and dying world. The foundation of our nation was built on faith and upon God's Word. No matter what the structure, this building, your home, the fanciest building that you could possibly find, a mansion, a skyscraper, if that foundation is eroded away, everything falls, including our nation, including our faith. How important it is for you and I to teach God's Word as the foundation of our lives. To our young generation, praying for them, I agree with. But it also must go past just prayers in exposing and teaching them the truth of the gospel. The nation will continue to thrive if it follows God's Word. It will continue to prosper when it continues and follows the same foundation it was started on. It gets hard sometimes. This is the closing part. It gets hard sometimes, and you and I feel like we beat our head against a brick wall. But just as Paul and Barnabas told the people there, continue in the grace of God, that mine and your faith might grow and become bolder and become more evident, that our lives individually become that light to a lost and dying world. And that in turn makes it to a lost and dying nation and to the world at large. We should not only have pride in our nation and glorify God for that blessing He has provided to us, but more especially glorify Him for the opportunity to be redeemed through His Son, Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. If there's one here that does not know Jesus Christ, we want to give them that opportunity this morning. No greater decision will you ever make. For you, the Christian, remembering those who gave you a presentation of the gospel, would you not want to share that with all that you meet? Though devil's going to tell you that you're not worthy, he's right. None of us are worthy. But God makes us worthy. Remember the words that Paul was told. My grace is sufficient. My strength is shown in your weakness. The same is true for you and I today. Although we may feel weak to be able to present the gospel, He promises to give us the words to speak.